I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to Wednesday!
Sports Talk. 95.3 The Score. That just kills me. That's really good stuff. That's quality radio.
I can't believe you were against it the first couple of times I played it. You were like, what is that? Who's saying that? What's going on there? That doesn't make any sense. How can you take away from the can? It's perfect.
Hey. That's one of the joys of believing in things like learning and evolution. You gather information and you're like, you know what? My initial thought was wrong.
That or it's just dumb persistence by me of just like, Steve is gonna like this. I Pavlov's dogged you. I trained you into liking this.
When it comes to stubbornness, don't even try with a New Jersey guy. You're way in over your head. You're decades and just DNA shy in this one as we welcome you to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. It's really strange to see my Twitter timeline and probably a lot of you who are, you know, mostly sports engaged that how centered everybody is on the Marcus Mariota now. In essence, getting benched in favor of Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, like somebody's tweeting about, you know, first of all, you got to remember Tennessee picked up his fifth-year player option. So because of that, he got starting job and $20 million this year, and they yanked him 37% of the way through the season. And that Vrabel will look at his coaches and offensive linemen who have been terrible and not offer up substantial commentary about their lack of performance. But anyway, by the way, I saw this on Facebook. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter just now. The guy who provides us as much Oregon football content, safely to say, as anyone, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com, wishing one Rob Mosley a happy birthday at Duck Football. Also happens to be one of the few diehard NHL fans around here, his Pittsburgh Penguins. Kind of a combo Dodger-A's fan. Yeah, much appreciate the updates, the reports, the information, the times he's been on the show. Rob Mosley, happy birthday, sir. Ta-da! Ta-da-da-da-da! I got you nothing except radio. I got your radio wishes. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So I saw this story, and my first thought was, well, that doesn't even make sense. It's got to be a misprint. So off of the Associated Press on ESPN's website, Leanne Walker adds 58 penalty strokes to her score at the Senior LPGA Championships.
What?
So she, you can't make this. So she shot 85-74. They're playing at the French Lick Resort in Indiana. And she realized, so there's a new rule that you can't putt when your caddies are standing directly behind you. She had to add 42 penalties to her first round. So she shot 127, 16 to the second round, a 90. She said, I may have made the Guinness Book of World Records. And so if you could just picture a golf tournament in your mind, you don't see the caddy behind the player. They could be holding the flag or, you know, off to the side, but I guess you don't. And I think once upon a time you were able to do that. And it's funny because first, when you hear it's the senior championship, you don't know if there's an honorary player or if somebody, you know, had just joined the senior tour. So the last time she played on the regular tour was 2008. And then, as the article pointed out, the sport went through the most comprehensive overhaul of the rules of golf. And a lot of them were effective this year. So, caddies can no longer stand behind players as they prepare to hit a shot unless the players back away after the caddy is no longer behind them. And by the way, it's not like she was cheating with an 85 and 74 about to get in the hunt here. And
so how many is it, like a two-stroke penalty per putt? Like, what is the penalty? Because that's a lot of missed, that's a lot of putts over 2 days of tournaments. Because I mean, even if you're, if she took 58 putts over the 2 days, like, you're doing a lot of
that's
putting,
too many putts,
but you're also doing it way too much with your caddy behind you. Like, you would think eventually one of those, like, accidental cheating moments would, like, work out and you wouldn't have to putt so many times.
So here's what happened is, after the first round, the caddy would line her up and she didn't reset. Didn't realize she was violating any rules. And the best part of the thing was Laura Baugh, who, God, she's got to be 70 by now. They let her play and then they made her aware of the violation and what she needed to do. And the weird thing is, she said she kind of remembered how many times her caddy was behind her. And so there's your answer. Each penalty is two shots.
Oh, my goodness.
She had 21 violations in the first round, 8 in the second. And then she found out. And by the way, I didn't realize, because it's a senior LPGA event. Without the rule, she would have missed the cut by a shot. So she still would have missed the cut. But now everybody's going to know who Leanne Walker is because she took 58 penalty shots.
Are you allowed to use a cart in the senior tour?
I think so.
Okay, that's good. Because I was just thinking, man, if you're
you could wear shorts.
I was going to say, if you can't do those two things on the senior tour, like, why even keep golfing on the senior tour? Because if you're a pro golfer who's playing on the senior tour, you've probably been good enough and made enough money at golf that you don't have to keep golfing. And if you wanted to, you could do it in a cart and in shorts in your free time. Obviously, you probably couldn't win as much money, but, you know, hey, I'd be more willing to, you know, pay my own money to use a cart and wear shorts if I had to walk and wear pants to play golf. Considering I've never walked and worn pants playing golf.
That would be a first for you?
Well, I mean,
something to strive for. I mean,
I've walked and golfed before, but I always did it in shorts. Or if I've golfed with pants on, I had a cart. I've never done the two together.
That was always the rule. I mean, Tiger kind of changed the rules with his Sunday Red that didn't have the traditional, like, Izod collar.
Right.
Because that used to be, I mean, you could get invited to, and it didn't even have to be like a private club. I mean, if you showed up at Emerald Valley and it was like, yeah, you're going to need a golf shirt. But then Tiger showed up. And actually, some of the coolest golf gear are not the traditional, what you would call, I guess, polo shirts, maybe.
Yeah. Right, right. That was the one thing that always scared me is my dad, when he would take me golfing, he's like, you've got to put a polo on. You've got to have a collared shirt on if you go. And I would always get freaked out, like, am I wearing the right thing? Can I wear those shorts? Can I wear these shorts? If I wear these shorts, I can't wear that shirt because that's all the same color and it won't look very good. And I'm like, but if I can't wear that shirt, then I have to wear those shorts. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, are they just going to throw me out? Are they going to let me golf at all? And then they wouldn't care because it was a public course or whatever. It was $20 to golf.
Somebody's telling me you can't wear shorts on the Champions Tour.
What?
That's
outrageous.
I gotta tell you, and it's a generational thing. I mean, I remember that, you didn't see shorts. I didn't see shorts on a golf course for men until the late 80s, early 90s. I know that sounds crazy, but that was kind of the tradition. That was kind of the etiquette. I'll tell you what, playing competitively and having a sense of humor, I can't tell you how many times when I played in high school, 1 year in college, and if we'd play in local tournaments, me and my buddies, we'd go out to the secondhand store and find the most gaudy, now you would relate to them as like John Daly pants, and just checkered bell bottoms and just show up in them. And we used to refer to them as our disco golf pants. And I tell you what, you tee off in one of those, you better hit a good drive on the first hole or you're not going to hear about it. And it's going to not stop. You're going to get your balls busted for eternity.
My dad's Goose's fraternity, they every year on Christmas Eve, they have a golf tournament because a lot of them still live in the Bay Area and their families are in San Jose or the Bay Area alike or whatever. But they play in a golf tournament and you have to wear, there's a prize given out to the person that has the loudest pants that they can wear on that day of golf. So they encourage people to wear costumes and whatever, because it's Christmas Eve and you're golfing, and even though it's California in the wintertime, you've still gone, it's still winter golf, and it's not the best course condition. So yeah, wear funny pants. Have a good time.
By the way, the Royal and Ancient says players could wear this as of this year, they were allowed to wear shorts in practice and pro-ams, but not the European Tour began that policy in 2016, but not in regular tournaments.
Okay, I've heard about the shorts and practice rounds things, but you're really going to make golfers over 50 go out there and walk around on the course and have to wear pants in the summertime? That's outrageous. Let them wear shorts or let them have a cart. They should be both, but if you're going to budge on one of the two, at least let them wear some shorts and be comfortable.
Hey, first of all, people. Let's get one thing straight. The technology, these dry fit shirts are unbelievable. I wore 2 years ago, the last time I went traveled and I bought, and I knew it was going to be hot, and I bought kind of the dry fit pants. It didn't matter if it was shorts or not. Those babies were breathing. And they're really, really, I just got the new golf shoes. I've done the dry fit. It's like, it's amazing how much more comfortable things are.
I understand. And, you know, sure, technology is getting better and maybe pants can be more comfortable. But nothing beats shorts if you're trying to stay cool in the summer. Like,
you know what the bottom line is?
Pants are still pants.
It's probably not going to really impact us.
That's true.
We're allowed to wear shorts.
I don't think I'm going to make it to the senior tour.
I'll tell you also, I would be very interested in the average hacker who, you know, never played competitively to actually have to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think you'd be amazed how by Saturday it started to wear on you. And especially if you're shooting 100 or worse, just all of those hacks.
And you're constantly walking and you're wearing pants. It would suck.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Steve, how's it going with you?
Good. What's happening?
Hey. So I'm listening to you guys, and while I'm listening, my buddy texted me this link from Huffington Post, and it was this crazy sports stat that I just had to share with you. I had to read the whole article, and it boggled my mind. But today is 76 days since the last NFL player was arrested, and it broke an all-time record.
Wow.
I was like, wow, wow. And you guys can Google it. I'm like, wow. Like 76 days from when an NFL player was arrested is the longest gap between an NFL arrest.
And
I was like, that is crazy. crazy.
Do they have a since like the 90s or out of curiosity?
It said I'm reading now. It says the last two decades. So.
Wow.
89.
Well, the weird part is that somebody keeps track of that.
Yeah. It was just a crazy stat. And I just happened to be listening to you guys. I'm like, you know who'd appreciate this? Steve.
No, you know we definitely appreciate these mundane, crazy, historic facts that most normal people would have no interest in.
Yeah. And I'll leave you guys with the Titans are a dumpster fire, and they made a giant mistake, and they're going to find out what they did come Sunday. So take care.
Thanks, Josh. A dumpster fire. I like dumpster fire. As a matter of fact, I am now officially a fan of dumpster fire. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Remember, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to start talking Husky football with Tony Castricone, the relatively new, this is just his second year since replacing Bob Rondeau's kind of a legend, an icon up there. So you got that going for you, which is nice. No baseball today. I almost feel like while the team I root for will benefit, I just miss having a baseball game today. Last night was my grandson's sixth birthday, so the game was on when I got there, and then the six-year-old pulled rank. He decided he got to pick out the dinner, the dessert, and what was on TV. So it was 7-4. So we kind of had the phone open. I was like, you realize if this gets to 7-5, 7-6, we're going to have to adjourn to a spare room and catch this and catch the end of it. But it was a very anticlimactic finish, to say the least. So this just in, the Oregon Lottery will launch the sports betting app today, which becomes the ninth state to go with mobile sports betting. So where's the other 41? That's is there a place where we could find out? Should we go to the Oregon Lottery? Isn't it like OregonLottery.org or something like that? Somebody, Darren Revelle was the one who tweeted it out. It says, I'm sure NFL refs will straighten things out this week. So there you go. Now, although, to be perfectly honest, that I've had first I had a great online account, sportsinteraction.com. It was based out of Canada, and I started it in about 2000. And I remember, because in 1999, I started working at the other radio outfit, and half of my job, we did sports talk for 2 hours, and my other aspect of my work was I was a news guy. I collected news, did interviews, went out, did stories, broke down the sound, came up with the scripts. We did news, weather, and sports periodically throughout the day, and I wanted to find out about the legitimacy. I always had, even though I would make purchases online, do banking online, pay bills online, I just had a natural paranoia about the offshore gambling sites, which it turns out are all fine. There's never been an issue with whether it's Dimes or Bets on Sports or Bovada or any of them. Have all, the people I know have never had a problem with deposits or security or payouts or anything like that. So I had a colleague in Salem, and I called and I said, is there like a Canadian equivalent of the Better Business Bureau? And so got the number, called up there, and spoke to a woman, and she's like, so what's the name of it? And she goes, well, if you go to your website, and she made me find some kind of a number. And she's like, no, they're registered. They're legit. They've been around for 3 years. There hasn't been any complaints. You would, and it's just a rate. The Better Business Bureau gives you a rating, and you're either legit, being investigated, or yeah, don't deal with them. And then one year, I think it might have been 2014, I went out, I wanted to make an extra contribution to start football season. And it kept going denied, denied, denied. So I called my bank and it's like, no, it's not. It's not us. You've been making this deposit, that deposit. And I eventually got a hold of somebody and they're like, we stopped taking money from American banks based on some kind of ruling by the government. And I was like, well, I've never had a reason to overthrow the government. Now I do. So was it an imposition on your freedoms? Did you feel threatened? Did you feel like the government was becoming tyrannical? Nope, I couldn't get a parlay in. It was a breaking point.
Don't you understand? I'm a degenerate. I need these things, and you took it away from me, so they had to go. It was time.
I'll tell you the truth. I would say my betting on games because of that has decreased by like 80%. No, I'm not kidding. I have another account. It's called Bets on Sports, and I don't do it a lot. I've got the TVG account where we bet on horse racing, but you know, every couple of weeks my wife and I do the pizza, wine, sit on the floor with the dogs and bet on horse racing and listen to music. So we'll do that, but yeah, now with this mobile app though, I think it might be time to up my degeneracy game. I think I might be ready to go all in, pun completely intended. All right. Each week on Wednesday, we refer to it as Yay Day, and that means it's time for our Green Hill Pet of the Week. We'll have that, an update, and our conversation with Washington play-by-play man Tony Castricone coming up next, 95.3 The Score. And 'tis another wonderful Wednesday, which of course means Yay Day. Sarah from Green Hill is here. How you doing?
Pretty well. How are you?
Oh, just magnificent. staying dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys closed down on Saturday for one of your biggest fundraisers of the year.
We did.
Which is called
Evening with Animals.
An Evening with Animals.
Yes.
So I would assume all were happy, all went well.
It was a success. Yes, it was a good time.
All right. Awesome. We've got, I say this every week, but you know, another special guest.
We do.
What could you tell us about this little sweetie pie known as Sapphire?
Yeah. So Sapphire is a four-year-old pity mix. She weighs maybe 50 pounds, so she's relatively small and petite,
right.
And she's not going to get much bigger, obviously, because she's four. So she's actually a really great size. She is all white, and she has like your kind of typical cow kind of pattern look, you know, like the hidden black spots that are obviously on her skin and not on her in her hair. But what's very significant about Sapphire is that she is deaf. So those vocal cues don't really work on her, but she is a lover. She loves people. She is a little shy at first and a little timid, but she really warms up and she's very curious and she loves to watch stuff. And she's
Does she have
just
a favorite
a
movie or actor or TV show?
I don't know. I haven't
asked her. We can
find
that out.
We will. And so she was a stray, so we don't have much history on her, other than she did come in with another dog, so she seems to be all right. She loves staring at herself in the mirror.
Well, she's adorable.
She is.
If I were that cute, I'd never leave a mirror.
I know, right? Always staring at yourself. So she can do well with other dogs. So we're saying probably 8 and older on the kids, just to be safe, dog savvy kids. And then the same with cats, dog savvy cats. There's a potential for there. She's just very sweet and very loving. And she's, yeah, looking for a forever home.
Well, and the thing is, with a dog, normally they could hear you coming a mile away.
Right.
Their scent, their hearing.
Right.
So with kids or another dog, it can't be kind of like, ah!
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have to
exactly.
kind of gauge yourself, kind
right.
of alter your habits, I guess
right.
it makes sense.
And it's going to go off a lot more of visual cues and treats and stuff like that rather than, you know, yelling and clapping
right.
and snapping and
get
all
the
those
basic
things.
Commands for yep. sit and
mm-hmm.
treats and eat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, again, our goal is find these doggies that you bring in here every week from Green Hill, their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
And so the basics for folks who are listening and thinking, huh, what do they need to know?
Yeah, so it's very simple. Green Hill is open 7 days a week, 11 to 6 p.m. every day. And just come on down to the shelter and bring any existing dogs that you have. If you're meeting a dog, of course, we don't have just dogs. We have cats and rabbits and, you know, all a bunch of other stuff.
Pets.
And all the pets. And we have you fill out a one-page paperwork and then meet the dog or the cat. And if everything goes over, then take them home.
You've got yourself a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
Again, online at Green, that's the, I should say on Twitter, it's at Green Hill Humane Society online, green-hill.org.
Yes.
Got it. Sarah, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
This is just one of the sweetest dogs I've ever met. Again, online, green-hill.org. Adopt. Give a pet their forever home. Best decision you'll make. We'll take a break. We'll be back. More sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
It's tough for him. It's tough for all of us. You know, like I said, you don't want to see a friend get hurt like that, lose his season. It's really unfortunate, but we're there for him, whatever he needs, you know, encouragement, helping him through the process. You know, he's attacking the recovery process already. So me and Bay and Pat and Spence all need to step up our roles and help contribute to get the win.
Hunter Kampmoyer on the Jacob Breland injury. And like the newspaper said today, perhaps a little tight end by committee. Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline as we welcome you back to Sports Talk. This is kind of like the half pole. It's, as Kansas once sang, the point of no return. We're halfway through the show. There's no turning back. Where this ship is just, it's a steamroller, and it's just moving forward, man. We'll talk some Huskies in a bit. 5:30, stoked. Haven't talked since early last year with our buddy Nick Aliotti. We'll get his thoughts on Husky Week and what's happening with this Duck team, this Duck defense facing Washington this week, Pac-12. A lot to talk about with Coach Aliotti. We will... some of you have really offered up some pretty funny commentary about golf attire, which I don't know when it comes to attire... There isn't anything more funny in the world of sports than golf, what you wear. I mean, just some of it's very cool. You remember the late, great Payne Stewart had a reputation on Sundays wherever he was playing. He would wear the... the colors of the NFL team. Gee, Steve. When he won in 99, and then he won three majors, and one of them was outside Chicago, and he had the great Chicago Bears attire. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, make sure I didn't give Nick the wrong phone number there to get a hold of Tony. And in a stunning development, I think I transposed the area code and the exchange. I'll tell you what, if you dialed the number I gave you and got through, oh, I'm buying. Not just breakfast on Saturday, just a whole bunch of things. But anyway, always feel free to text us, 321-0824. Hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore. For the station, at Sports Talk 953. For yours truly, for Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. And I have an empty feeling heading into tonight, because normally, right about now, we'd be getting ready for MLB, the playoffs, but it's been postponed due to rain. So are we struggling? Have I ruined everything?
No, he's not picking up.
All right, well, maybe send him a text with my phone, say, efforting, because I actually did check in with him earlier today, but you know how that goes. All right. Either way, we move along and try and make a connection, and maybe this is all a setup. He is the Husky play-by-play guy. So the word is call him back, Nick. All right. NBA tonight, all of a sudden, you know, it's a strange night when you when you see the ESPN or the CBS scoreboard and it's all Detroit, Charlotte, Atlanta, New York. By the way, Hawks and Knicks preseason on ESPN. That's a beauty and a half. You want to talk about a scintillating matchup. Preseason basketball, Knicks and Hawks. Man, spies that get caught should have to watch that. All right, let's lock it down. Talk some Husky football. It's that week. It's a huge game. Our guest is a first-timer. Now the voice of the Washington Huskies. Check out TonyCastricone.com. He's also hosting a podcast, as you may have presumed. Our guest, Tony Castricone. Tony, glad to connect. Great to get a chance to talk to you. How's life?
It can't be better, man. I mean, it's Washington, Oregon this week. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. When you get a chance to call a game like Washington, Oregon, it's a good week. So, yeah, we're pretty excited.
So this is your second year calling UW football and, of course, basketball. You replaced the legend, Bob Rondeau, who was the voice for more than three decades. And I've seen some of the stuff that when you've been interviewed and written about you. Would I be accurate to say while you're honored you got the gig, you also kind of understand the process and, you know, what it's like to take over for an icon like Bob?
Oh, I don't know that anybody has any idea what it's like to take over for an icon like Bob. I think you just do the job the best you can. I mean, I don't know that there's anything more to it than that. Yeah, totally honored. That's accurate. But then when I got here, it's just time to get to work. And Bob was amazing. And everybody's going to miss listening to him, me included. Like, there's no doubt. But, yeah, I mean, now I just got to do the best I can do, and look, I'm honored to be working with a school this great. You know, I mean, it's a great time to be a Husky, particularly when you look at the fact that there's success in both football and men's basketball. The Dogs got back to the NCAA tournament last year, in football, three straight 10 win seasons. Three straight New Year's Six Bowl games. It's a great time to be a Husky.
Yeah, I know also you're East Coast. I'm way East Coast. I'm Jersey. You went to Ohio University from the Buckeye State, by the way. Go Bobcats. When you land in a place like Washington and have the job you have, I mean, obviously the Apple Cup captivates the state. How quickly did fans make it apparent to you that this program down here in Eugene, this is a pretty heated ride? Rivalry.
Yeah, fans didn't have to do that. It's a national rivalry. It's a great rivalry. I think that, you know, just by watching college games, you see the Montages together ahead of the week that, you know, we need a good nickname for it. The Cascade Clash, I've heard. It's a border war, like we've talked about. But, you know, this is a rivalry that needs no introduction. You've got two of the great programs in college football right now, and you know, two iconic brands that have a lot of pride, and you know, when they get a chance to go toe-to-toe, it's always great. But when they get a chance to go toe-to-toe with North Division implications on the line, it's even that much better. And particularly the last few years with both teams being ranked and everything else. It's a great rivalry in college football.
He's the voice of the Huskies, Tony Castricone. You can follow on Twitter as well, at Castricone. Some of the commentary I've been hearing focusing on Jacob Eason, the quarterback. I mean, with his size and his arm, no issue. You know, you saw the big numbers against Hawaii and BYU. The first two Pac-12 games, so-so. Strong last week at Arizona. So seeing him up close and personal, how would you evaluate his performance so far this year?
I'd say pretty good. And I mean, you know, those guys that you have to actually watch the tape and not just look at numbers, because he has an unreal fastball. And part of it is actually sometimes it's a little too fast if it's not, you know, a throw in medium to long range. But also, I think Sports Info Solutions had something on this last week that the Huskies actually led the Pac-12 with the highest percentage of dropped targets this year, which is not something you want to lead the Pac-12 in. And so Jacob Eason has done a really good job of just managing games and then, you know, taking some shots on first down. You'll definitely see them do that a little bit on Saturday. I think the thing where he gets a little uncomfortable is when he has to roll out of the pocket, when he has to try to do some things along those lines. And so the Huskies would love to have a clean pocket with all kinds of time to throw, but considering the strength of Oregon's front six, front seven, you certainly don't expect that.
Certainly a lot begins up front. I mean, you know, Trey Adams, who has fought through so much injuries, an ACL, a back. I know Nick Harris is a fifth-year senior at center. There's a couple of Portland guys, Guy Hilbers from Beaverton, the youngest member, Jackson Kirkland from Portland. So, A, do we have an updated status on Harris? And B, how would you evaluate how this group has performed so far this year?
It's a good group. It really is. And, not exactly sure what happened to Nick Harris last game, making him unable to go. I would expect him to get to go this weekend, a senior, his final chance to go against Oregon. I think that's certainly something that, I don't know if you'd call it a game time decision or what, but I would expect him to give it a go. Not really clear as to what was going on with him that forced him to sit out the last game. It's a good veteran group, and you mentioned Jackson Kirkland is the youngest member of that line. I think Jackson Kirkland's a future pro. I think Hilbers has performed really well this year in the right tackle position in his first year as a starter there. And then, you know, you've got a couple guys that make various All-American lists like Harris and Adams on the line. It's a good group. And not just in the pass pro game, but giving this team a little bit of a push in the run game as well. So I think it's going to be a lot of strength on strength when Oregon's aggressive front six goes up against Washington's offensive line. It'll be fun to watch.
You know, I want to get you. You kind of alluded to the running game and Savan Ahmed, who took the baton against from Miles Gaskin, who only became the all-time leading runner in program history. You know, he was great against SC, three TDs last week, and he had been a supplement to Gaskin the previous 2 years. What could you tell us about his game, and perhaps if he might have a little more of that home run threat like we saw in that 89-yard explosion against the Trojans?
Yeah, that's his game. Savan Ahmed can break the big one at any given time. I think he is able to do that by being patient, waiting for blocks to develop. I think he maybe ran a little too patient in the last game at Arizona, and Sean McGrew was the back who was kind of hitting the holes a little harder, and even though he's small in stature, he's got a lion's heart, and he's been a really tough runner as well. It's good to have Richard Newton. The freshman running back's been really good in those wildcat plays and those goal-to-go situations and, was going into last week leading the Pac-12 in touchdown runs with six. So it hurts to be down him, but they've got a really nice stable of backs, and it's a strong group for the Dogs.
Final few thoughts for the voice of the Huskies, Tony Castricone. The defense has been pretty stellar. Jimmy Lake was a co-coordinator, now the guy this and last season from the secondary he had built that had 3 second-round picks 2 years ago to this group, you know, a great freshman like Cameron Williams. I've talked to a few people around the conference, around the country. You think the word's getting out? Because, I mean, I think he's among the best coordinators, not only in this conference, but nationally.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I do think the word's getting out. I mean, I think when you look at just across the country, the different places where you have the coordinators that you know by name at different programs, I think Jimmy Lake's becoming one of those guys, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a guy that it's a really interesting story. Like you mentioned, was a co-coordinator and was a defensive backs coach. Pete Kukowski, who is the defensive coordinator, went to Chris Peterson and said, hey, look, you know, this Jimmy Lake guy, he's really good, and he's going to leave for a defensive coordinator job if we don't hook him up. So what if I backed off and just coached the outside linebackers? We let him run the defense. Really selfless move by Pete Kukowski. And, you know, it was exactly what Jimmy Lake needed in order to stay on Hot Lake, get that experience he needs to be the head coach he wants to be someday. And it's paid off. I mean, this is a great Husky defense that you look at over the last 4 years, leads the conference in total defense each of the last 4 seasons, scoring defense each of the last 4 years. So, I'm with you. I think Jimmy Lake's a great coordinator. I think this is a great defensive staff that Chris Peterson has put together, and Jimmy Lake's a big part of it.
A couple final thoughts. I mentioned the DBs, that front six, or I guess depending on the package, you know, they lost Ben Burkervin, Greg Gaines to the NFL, a couple of other big contributors like Jalen Johnson. But they have a lot of experience. I mean, they've already recorded 16 sacks. What do you like about the front end of this Husky defense?
Yeah, it's a veteran group. You know, I think you've got, it's mixed, right? I mean, there's only explosive playmakers. I think the recent recruiting up front has been phenomenal from the Kaika Malloy, the defensive line coach, and then, you know, the guys on the outside, like Pete Kwiatkowski, have done a great job of bringing in really talented young players. And so, you know, Levi Onwuzurike, Josiah Bronson, and then backing them up, Benny Pukwai on the inside of the defensive line, all those guys are really veteran. The guys to back them up are Tuli Latuli and Asanoa Taki Kamani, big time recruits, freshmen, guys that are really making an impact on this year's team. You look at other freshmen coming off the edge, Zion Tukuola Fatui, Liatu Latu. These are guys that are big time playmakers, and even Joe Tryon, who's getting a start as an edge rusher, is just a sophomore in his third year. So, you know, there's a lot of guys here on this defense that really do wreak havoc up front, and I think they're really starting to come into their own here this time of the season now.
Lastly, I always call it the view from the other side. You know, we live here in Eugene, kind of what I call the Oregon bubble. A lot of the views we get are through a green and yellow lens. But from your angle and talking with the guys, plus what you've been able to observe, what are some of the areas of this Duck football team that you might say has the attention of the folks in Seattle?
I don't think there's anything that doesn't have the attention. I mean, you got great athletes everywhere. You got, an All-American caliber quarterback. You got a good running game. Lots of playmakers at receiver. One of the best offensive lines in the country. You got multiple guys up front on both sides of the ball that are pro potential. An All-American candidate linebacker. And nickelback, who is probably an NFL guy. You got corners that are NFL guys. I just think, like, what is missing from this Oregon team? What's missing was a forced incompletion with 9 seconds left against Auburn. That's it. Otherwise, you're looking at a playoff contender. It's a really loaded group. It's extraordinarily deep. And, you know, it's going to be one heck of a football game. I know Washington's really excited. You know, love the rivalry, and it's going to be a great opportunity to see two great teams go at it.
Yeah, pretty stoked. I love when both teams are playing with a lot on the line. Folks, he's Tony Castricone. He is the voice of the Huskies. Hey, great to get a chance to catch up. Have a great broadcast, and obviously love to talk again once it's round ball time, Tony.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I'll want to take a quickie break and come back, and we'll have a somewhat abbreviated final segment of the 4 o'clock hour next. 95.3 The Score.
My dues, time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
The 1-1. Swing and a fly ball center field. This ought to do it. Robles under it, settles under it, makes the grab, and the Washington Nationals have won the pennant. For the first time ever, Washington, the Nationals, headed to the World Series.
Some of the conversation I was up early and at it this morning, so I was able to take an extended walk with the doggies. And I was listening to Levitard, and they were just trying to paint how odd of a sequence of a scenario it was that the Nats would let Harper walk and win it, and win the pennant. It's just very strange. I guess it's the old adage. I mean, they upgraded their pitching with Patrick Corbin, and they, you know, it's not like they were lacking offensively. I mean, Rendon is fantastic. Obviously, they were counting on a spectacular year from the kid, Soto. They got it. The fact that the Phillies did not do much to bolster their pitching despite adding a couple of good sticks and good players in Harper and JT Realmuto. But Rendon's a stud. And a lot of stability out there. Robles and what about Kibbles and Bits, Robles and Bits, Adam Eaton. I mean, those guys aren't great, great players, but they're good defensive players. They're stable. Trey Turner, a 300-hitting shortstop with some pop. Matt Adams. And guys like Howie Kendrick and, you know, Kurt Suzuki. Parra got his, you know, 250. You know, Zimmerman was hurt, came around, and obviously was a key cog at the end. And I'm just trying to think. It reminds me of when... it was Tennessee had Peyton Manning as their starting quarterback for 4 years in 94, 5, 6, and 7. He left and they won the first BCS championship. They never could beat Florida. You know, it was the Steve Spurrier Gators that won the national championship in 1996 with Danny Werfel. And it's just... It's. I wonder how many teams, you know, lose a player of that magnitude and get better and accomplish something. I mean, they had never advanced. The only advancement they'd done was, you know, getting out of the regular season and into the playoffs. But, you know, win 93 games kind of gave chase a little bit to the Bravos and the... middle of September until Atlanta pulled away, but the bottom line is they are all Elton John and they're still standing. All right, that brings us to break time. In the 5 o'clock hour at the bottom, we'll talk with Nick Aliotti. So more Duck Pack 12 talk coming your way. 95.3 The Score.
If that's not Shaquille O'Neal and left, that baby's out of here.